We always like to introduce our speaker and give them a big, huge round of applause. But I adore Mark. I don't know if y'all know that or not. It's pretty apparent. But it's been so neat to watch him when he first came in here and have him find another level of Papa God, and just to watch his growth and to watch his passion. And I'm so excited that he's going to come and share that passion with Papa with us. And I just pray that it's going to be contagious and that we all just have an open heart to receive just some of the good stuff that Mark's got inside of him. And I really appreciate him sharing himself and sharing his love of Papa with us and igniting the flames in us. So let's give him a big warm welcome and say thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob. You guys are amazing. You really are. You know, it's back in the game Sunday, and traditionally what that means is it's our call to learn to get back in the game. As we always say, you know, the professionals practice all week and then they play on Sunday. In our house, we practice on Sundays, and then we go out and we do what we've practiced in here out in our normal lives all week long. And that's what it's kind of a call to action. Back in the game. Let's get back in the game. Let's do that thing that God calls us to do, going out and bringing people to Him. And so that's what Back in the Game Sunday kind of is all about. And I thought a good way to do that, a good way for us to get back into that mindset, is for us to take a little bit of time today, and it won't be long, because I know, you know, everyone kind of wants to get out and get the party started and all that, so it won't be long, but I thought it would be very important for us to take time to look back on the times in our faith journey when God came into our lives and made an impact. And maybe that impact not only impacted you, but it impacted others around you and made a difference in some way, shape, or form. And when you think back on those times and you think, oh yeah, I remember that one, and I remember that one, and I remember that one, all of a sudden that gets your body and your mind into that thing again about, oh my gosh, God is amazing. He does work wonders and miracles. He does do things through me, and it gives you a little bit more of excitement to go out and do that thing that Jesus all commanded us to do. And so I thought if I would start and do a little thing and tell a little story here involving myself and my experiences. And then we have pieces of paper over here. And what I'm going to have Lisa do is I'm going to have her pass them out. And I don't want you to sign or anything, but I want you to write down one thing or one time in your life when you know that God came and made a difference through you. When God came and made a difference through you. And then what we're going to do is I'm just going to read them. I'm just going to read through them. We're not going to say this is from so-and-so or anything. I'm just going to read through them so that everybody sees, oh my gosh, look at all the different ways that God, you know, that God worked through me and in me. When I was single and searching and hoping and struggling and going through a tough time, and I ran into Melissa most of you have heard this story before, at a tryout for a show. And God said, that's the woman that you're supposed to be with. And we ultimately began dating and got married. And in the process of our dating, we talked about where we were going to go to church, because I was born and raised Catholic. And of course, I have nothing against the Catholic Church, a very reverent, devout faith, and I learn about Jesus there. And so I have nothing bad to say about that. But in the process, she said, I'm not going to become Catholic, so we're going to go to church together. You're all going to come with me. So, yeah, so a typical woman, Bob says, yeah. Anyway, so I began to come to church here. And we sat back there in the second to last pew. It was kind of funny because it was just like in the Catholic Church. Everybody always sat in the same place. I don't know why that is, but everybody always sat in the same place. You get comfortable. You know, you get comfortable in your place. But I sat back there, and of course, I was looking around me, and there are people up there going like this, right? And I'm just like this. And I got my hands great. I mean, I'm sure there's finger marks back there somewhere, because this was news. This was all new to me. And then I remember the first Sunday that I came here, right after the second song, Paul Carnes started speaking in tongues, and I went, "What was that?" And then somebody interpreted what he said. And I said, "Oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into?" I had no idea where God was leading me. I had no idea. And then it wasn't too long after that, I had had a conversation with Tim about how I had felt this calling for healing, that God had somehow instilled in me that I could pray for people and that he would heal them if I did that. But we didn't, that wasn't something we did much in the Catholic Church. So I talked to him about that. Well, it couldn't have been. 3 days later, we were at church, and of course, Tim's talking about people needing healing. You need healing, come on up here, and we'll get some people to pray for you. Mark, why don't you come up here and pray? And I went like this. I've never done this before in my life. This is crazy. Okay? So I came up here, and I'm standing up here, and everyone's on the blue line. And I went, and I put my hand on Paul Carnes' shoulder, and he fell on the floor. And I went, "That did not just happen." He's on the floor. People literally caught him halfway down and laid him on the floor. And I'm at this point flabbergasted, not knowing, was that true? Was that good? Did he do that for my benefit? Not knowing. Two more people, I moved down, prayed for this one, prayed for this one. She went down, scared me to death. Moved on to the third one. He went down. Afterwards, I talked to Tim and I said, "What in the world is going on?" He said, "God is trying to show you something. He can work through you. He can work through all of us. It doesn't matter where you came from, how you were raised, anything like that. He can work through you, and that's what he's trying to show you. Those people don't lay down in here. People want to lay down on this dirty floor. His presence hit them, and they went down. That's what happens. Since that time, I have seen people get so drunk in the spirit in here, they can't get up off the floor. How many of you have seen that? I've seen Julie. She's laying over here laughing. She can't move. Laughing hysterically, can't get up off the floor because God just slayed her in the spirit. We've seen this happen over and over again. Because that happened, I started to pray for people. And a poor girl who couldn't, it was my first, poor girl had to play the flute for midnight mass. At this point, I was still going back and forth. I was, singing in church and coming over here and all that. And midnight mass, and apparently if you play the flute, you got to hold your head in a certain way. And her neck would not bend. So I said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" And I prayed for her, and my hand got really hot, and her neck got hot. And the next thing I know, she's able to move her neck, and she's able to play. And so she played. It was beautiful, beautiful. And then one thing led to another, and I prayed for another young girl who was a vocalist down at Miss Ohio. I think you've heard me tell this story before. She could not sing. Gorgeous, gorgeous voice. Trained the whole nine yards. Amazing entertainer. Could not sing. No voice at all. So I said, "Emily, let me pray for you." And she looked at me, did not believe in God. Did not believe. Cussed like a sailor. Did not believe in God. Laid my hands on her, prayed for her. By the afternoon, she was singing like an angel. She said, "I have never been able to hit notes like this in my life." She became a believer. She got on a cruise ship and was entertaining on cruise ships, held praise and worship services and altar calls. Last time I talked with her, which has been 4 or 5 years ago, thought she had brought somewhere between 3,500 and 5,000 people to Jesus. Do you see how God works? God says, "That's the woman you're supposed to be with." I go be with that woman. And it's been an amazing, incredible life. Thank you, baby. And then things start to happen. And you pray for this person. And because I became a part of this church, I learned how to pray for healing. And because I prayed for healing, 5,000 people got led to Jesus. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It happens all the time. I remember we were pregnant. And she began to bleed one night, horribly bleeding, horribly. I called the doctor, and the doctor says she's probably miscarried. Just keep her comfortable tonight and bring her in the morning, and we'll clean it up. So she sat down in this chair, and I knelt down in front of her, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. The next morning, she went to the doctor. They found a heartbeat. And that heartbeat is sitting right over there. And he is, yes, and he is one incredible, amazing, bright, talented, forward-thinking young man. And that's the way God moves. And I think I told you the story about how we were in a restaurant in Toledo, and a woman runs up to the person in charge of the restaurant and says, please help, please help. My dad is unresponsive. He's not breathing. He's laying on the floor. So she gets on the microphone and she's yelling for anybody, EMT, nurse, anybody in there that's available. Please go, you know, come to me right away. And they took him back there and they called the ambulance and whole nine yards. And I looked at Melissa and Jake and I said, God's telling me I got to go pray for him. Got up, ran over there, and like the true prayer warrior woman of God that she is, my wife followed. And we got over there, and I knelt down at this man's feet. They had him laid down with his feet up. He was gray. He was not breathing. He had no pulse. And I started to pray, and one of his daughters said, thank you. And I said, I'm not a medic. I came to pray. And she said, thank you. So we began to pray. And the minute, I swear to you, the minute that my wife's hands touched his foot, she started to pray in the spirit. And the minute that happened, his color started coming back. And all of a sudden, he had a pulse. And all of a sudden, he was breathing. The next thing you know, he opened up his eyes and he looked at one of his daughters. And she said, Daddy, and he reached for her. Those are things that happen because we believe. And we dare to step out and we dare to do the things that Jesus taught us to do. And amazing things happen. Now, I can guarantee you that that woman and her sister who were there and witnessed that are probably still talking about that to this day to all their friends. They probably still are. God, and probably because, just a guess, maybe one of them was doubting. Maybe one of them was hurting. Maybe one of them needed God more than she ever knew. And she watched that and her life changed because of that. That's how he works. That's how he works. He works through us. He encourages us. He lifts us. He empowers us. Some of the most beautiful words ever uttered to me in my lifetime came from Lisa. Remember that song we used to sing, Love Has a Name, Love Has a Name, and it's Jesus. Love Has a Name, Love Has a Name, and it's Jesus. One of my favorite songs. I don't know if she knew that I was feeling a little bit down or a little bit disconnected or whatever, but one morning she walked up to me in this church and she wrapped her arms around my neck and gave me this big hug. You know, sometimes she gives you that side hug thing, you know? Well, this was not the side hug thing. She wrapped her arms around my neck and she gave me a big hug, I think knowing that I maybe wasn't where I needed to be at that point. And she said, let me tell you something. Love has a name and it's Mark. Changed my life forever. I carry that with me wherever I go. You are love, young man. You are love. You spread that love wherever you can. You make a difference wherever you can. Love has a name. And it's Tom, and it's Karen, and it's Melissa, and it's Lisa, and it's Matt. Love has a name, and it's you. It's your name. It's who you are. It's who you're meant to be. Lisa, why don't you pass those out? All of us have a story. We all do. Where God just showed up one day and made something amazing happen. I mean, we have our international ministry leader over here that reaches out through all that he does and the stories that he's told and the people that he's reached and all the people that have come to God simply because they communicated with Tom and he encouraged them. Just the things that happen because we listen and we fall into line of obedience. It's like I went to a healing conference in Valparaiso, Indiana, that Tim took me with, God rest his soul. And there's another thing about this church. Let me take a little side thing, bunny rabbit. Because I was in this church and I left the practice of law to join a business venture that ultimately failed. And so here I am. I don't want to go back into law practice. The business venture shouldn't have failed but did. So I don't have a job and I have anything. A gentleman in the back of the church who's no longer with us, Denny, tells me one day, hey, contact Advance Auto Parts. They just lost a driver. I'm sure that they could use you. So I went to contact Advance Auto Parts. Sure enough, they hired me as a driver. At Advance Auto Parts, my commercial sales manager was a guy named Tim. He left Advance Auto Parts to go to work for AutoZone to become their commercial sales manager. He begged me for a couple years, why don't you come work for me, work for me, work for me. So finally, I did. I went over and I interviewed and I worked for them. I worked for Tim. Guess what? Lo and behold, Tim leaves, and now I'm the commercial sales manager at AutoZone. Things work out of the simplest little things. Look, oh my goodness. Hi, guys. How are you? So good to see you. Oh my gosh, do I feel old. Look how big they are. I feel so old. So if you would, take a moment and just write down one time that you know that God just showed up in your life and either worked a miracle for you or through you. And it doesn't even need to be a miracle. Something good happened for you or through you because God, at some point in time in your faith journey, jumped in and let his presence be known to you. If you can do that, and then what we'll do is we'll collect them all. And it'll kind of be like a testimony thing here, but unless any of you seriously want to get up here and share it in person and speak it yourself, you are more than welcome to. More than welcome to. Bob, you want to do that? Absolutely. Why don't you come up and get started? Yeah, come on up. We'll get started. Now, as we're doing this, as we're reading through these things and we're sharing these stories, think about the power that you have through him. Think about the power that he has through you.
Most of you know you give me a microphone and I'm not afraid to use it. I've been working in van work for 13 months now, and there's days you just don't think you belong there, and then there's days that you know you're supposed to be there. So one day I wanted to share something with a guy who's a pastor of a small church down by van work, and I think he's head of the weld shop. And I said, you got a minute? He goes, yeah. I said, I got to tell you something. And I told him the story that was on my heart. And it was all about, you know, God's timing. And I think I've told it here before. Well, that's not the point of the story. The next day, he came up to me and he goes, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, you were used. I'm used. Now, that has happened a day or two in my life in a bad way. And he goes, I was feeling real bad and down about something. And Lord used you to tell me exactly what I needed to hear through your mouth. And I'm like, I mean, I got a little emotional about the whole thing because I don't know this guy very well. And there we are in the middle of the fab shop praising the Lord. And people are, and I mean, we weren't real radical about it, but it's like, you know, can you believe what just happened? And it was all in his good timing. And it was just amazing that when you doubt it the most and have no idea it's going to happen, he'll put you in the right place at the right time, or you could be the recipient of that. So I just want to thank God for letting that happen.
Absolutely. Can we start? Yeah, amen. Can we start collecting some of these so that we can? Bob, will you help me out? Could you start collecting some of these so we can get them up here and get them going? But what a, you know, what a testimony. And as you know, as many of you know, it's gotten to a point where we've had people have literally walked into the AutoZone store and said, are you the Mark that prays for people? You know, I need prayer. Are you the guy that prays for people? And I think that that's the way that Jesus wants it for all of us. He just wants us to be that person that people know they can go to. And I think that that's what was meant. We got some? You're waiting? Do you want to do your own or are you just collecting? Collecting. Yeah, you know, yeah, Kurt. Absolutely. Come on up. Absolutely. Yeah, Kurt's had a few miracles in his lifetime.
I was born. No. April 17th, 1974. I was a young man, but I had made plans that week, actually the month earlier. That was the night I'm going to find out what it was like to do drugs, smoke pot, going to do whatever. Just, I was all nervous, but we had planned it. A bunch of us guys had already planned it and so forth. But tongue in cheek, unfortunately, I had promised my Aunt Betty then I would go to the Little Assembly of God Church near our house to a revival service. Two little women were there, Sister Branham and Sister Steele. I remember their names. They'd play the piano and talk and just all this fiery stuff, whatever. And I actually was walking out the door.
There you go.
I was walking out the door. And my aunt stepped in front of me and said, "You're going with me to the church tonight." I was a little bit relieved because, you know, I'm young, 70. I was a sophomore, I think, in high school. But I didn't have a choice. I couldn't go anywhere but there. So I went that night. And that night, they showed a film that scared me. Man, oh man, it was called A Thief in the Night. Is anybody here old enough to remember that? It simulated when the rapture happened. I had no idea what they were talking about. I remember seeing this guy playing the piano on the Tonight Show, on the movie. And then he disappeared. I thought, wait a minute, what's that all about? And for some reason, it struck real to me. But I didn't know at the time of how much my family had been praying for me and so forth. So the lights came on, and they didn't have to say anything or anything. And I ran down to the front to pray and asked Jesus into my life. And I've made a mess of that sometimes, because when you put that new wine into the old wineskin has to die, you know. And you have to start all over every day. But that's the greatest thing that happened to me at that point. And then things that have come subsequent to that, many, many, many things over the course of my life. We were directed at one point, several of us young men who were together and playing music and all became Christians at about the same time. We were going to be, I guess you'd call it a boy band then, now. I don't know what you'd call it then. But we decided one Wednesday night after church, we're going to hop in the car and we're going to go to California because we're hillbillies in Virginia and we've never been, right? So we gathered money, we headed out west. Little did we know that God had planned that entire trip. We thought it was spur of the moment. We got to Winslow, Arizona, and I stood on the corner that the Eagles sang about. They got a sign there. This is where the Eagles are. We got our picture taken and all this kind of stuff. It's crazy. We went into a restaurant, a tiny little diner with pictures of Jesus and Mary all around the top, little border around the top. And the two women, again, two older women, I think, well, they were older than I was, that ran the restaurant. One was Mary, one was Ruth. I kid you not. And my friend Eddie, who's with the Lord now, fiery guy, fiery red hair, afro. He's a white guy, but he had afro. And we loved everybody. And he and I would just stage sometimes testifying back and forth to get people's attention so we could tell them about Jesus. We'd make it up. He looked like the criminal all the time, so we just did that. So we're in the restaurant, and Eddie speaks up and says, "Hey, Kurt, I think these people know who Jesus is." He said it out loud. Then here comes these two women running out of the kitchen. Oh! I looked at Eddie, and I thought, I think we're all right. We can take them. We were scared. And they said, "The Lord showed us you were coming." And we said, "Say what?" Said, "Yeah, you're supposed to go with us." And so they went to the door and flipped the side. I remember all the details. Closed the restaurant. Took us through the kitchen, out the back, through their house, to a Airstream, one of those big silver campers. And they had five bed places made in that camper. There was five of us that had got into a two-door Monte Carlo and headed west to go to California. We never made it to California. We got stuck there because that's where God stopped us. And these ladies were missionaries to the Native Americans. And they said, we asked the Lord to send us somebody to help us. And she said, "Which one of you are the preacher?" I said, "I guess that's me." So she followed me around with a microphone most of the time. We went to reservations, and we taught, and we sang music, and they wore us out for I don't know how long it was. And then one morning, 6 o'clock, beating on the door of the camper, boom, 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 boom. "The Lord says it's time for you to leave now." So we didn't even get breakfast. They were closed and gone when we got up. So we got in the car, and as I recall it, you know, this is my version of the truth now because it gets blurry. But we were in the car, dead silence for an hour or two. And then my friend Eddie just yelled out at the top of his lungs, "What in the world just happened to us?" And as we begin to look back and evaluate it, every step was directed in order. And we had no clue, but we had a heart that said, we want to do what you want, Lord. And to this day, I don't know what fruit was born out of that, other than this testimony for me of how you don't even know when you wake up one day, if you just have a heart willing to be used, to be Jesus that day to somebody. You will be, whether you know it or not. And that's just one of many things. I've seen healings. I've seen tons of different things. But I'm just very grateful to be privileged to be a part of a body that of Christ that I can live in that mode every day. It doesn't matter about the viruses or the hate in the world. We were told of this a long time ago. We have to be this light. And if we are, these things will continue to happen.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Kurt. Fantastic. Isn't it funny how, you know, some days we have plans and God has other plans. It seems to happen. Oh, yeah, better get this on. I'll never be able to read them. All right. Are we ready? This is going to be fun. When I was either in kindergarten or first grade, there was a girl in my class named Sabrina Harvey, and she wasn't Christian, so she kind of wanted to marry me. Wow. I was a little girl, but I knew that I didn't want to spend the rest of my life with a girl. One day, my family and I gave her a beginner's Bible, and the next time I saw her, she was completely transformed. How about that? That is amazing. I prayed for my mom's foot because it really hurt, and she couldn't walk, and God answered, and she was healed. Healing from children. Now, you know, sometimes I write like this when I'm in a big bad hurry, but this is a child prayed for a mom and got healed. I couldn't get pregnant, and we prayed for 8 years. God answered and healed me with triplets. Holy cow. Isn't that amazing? 8 years they prayed for children, and they got blessed with triplets. Better that way, right? Instead of having one, and then 2 years later, one, then 2 years later, just have them all at once. Boom, done, right? Yeah. I fell through a garage roof, and when I hit the floor, I did not have any pain. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Somebody's made a kryptonite or something. That's incredible. That's amazing. Okay. God healed me of fibromyalgia. Yeah. Yes, he does. How does that happen? You know, the doctors say there's no cure. There's no cure. You just got to live with this. We'll manage your pain. We'll do the best we can. Here, take some medication. And God says, nah, I got a better plan. We'll just heal it and be done. Lisa Davis ministered to me by giving me a hug and praying for me when I really, really needed it. Go ahead and cry. You're allowed. It's okay. You know, you have any idea how many people's lives you've touched and changed? You don't. I do. Anyway, let's move on. These guys, these are wonderful. I love it. A lady at work had her son with her who had an earache. He let me pray for him, and the pain went away. His mom still comes to me for prayer at work when she has a need. That's what I'm talking about right there. God worked through you, and somebody recognized that God works through you, and now they're coming to you to get more of God. How much more blessed can life be than that? Seriously, that's what I'm talking about. God allowed me to share his heart with an atheist, and today she loves Jesus. I'm going to keep these. We're going to put them in a box somewhere. We're going to keep these. These are worth framing. This is a blank page. Okay. Whoever gave me a blank page, I hope the story was fantastic. I was part of a singer group here years ago. We did Chicago outreach, inner city, street ministry. We were in, I think I'm reading this right, Cabrini Green, one of the roughest housing projects in Chicago and prayed with an elderly lady on her steps. She couldn't walk, hadn't walked for years. I prayed for her, and she was about to take three steps. She was overwhelmed with God's love. Man. And you know, this happens. How many millions of people believe in Jesus, you suppose? How many hundreds of millions or billions believe in Jesus? Can you imagine if every one of them has a story like this, and they do? Billions upon billions of things and times God has worked his magic through those who believe. Billions of times. Yeah, this one just says healings. Just healings. So I'm sure that they're a healing prayer warrior. He took away my addiction to crack cocaine suddenly and completely 26 years ago. So somebody's been clean for 26 years. Wow. Tim, wherever you are, I hope you're watching. My kids... Oh, my gosh. It looks like it says a pastor from Africa comes out and said, your son, okay, my son, a child, they have a child's pastor from Africa found us out and said, your son will be born to the nations. I'm having a hard time reading this. I apologize. We have lost a total of 7 children, and 3 have been saved and been such a blessing to me. I apologize, I'm not reading that very well. Okay, come up to me later, whoever that was, and let me know what that is, and I'll share the story. Okay, 1 year ago, we met one of our neighbors. She was an alcoholic and struggled to get free. We became friends and just showed love to her. 1 month ago, she came to me telling that she got help a month after we first met and has been 8 months clean. How about that? And all you did was lead them to the right place. Just stuff like that is amazing. One day at home, I had a knock on the door. When I answered it, there was a woman that said that she was a realtor and that a friend who had shared Jesus with me had told her that I might be interested in selling my house. I didn't know what to say, so I just said that Karen, my friend, was very special to me because she told me about Jesus and I was now a Christian. With that, she burst into the tears without thinking. I took her hand and brought her into the house saying, you need Jesus. We sat down and I led her in prayer to accept Jesus. You could see the look on her face, the change coming on to her. Wow. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So let me ask you something. Yeah, I see people go like this and wipe big tears. How many of you feel good right now? Yeah, how many of you feel good after us going through that and reading that stuff? Do you see how powerful you are? Do you see how blessed you are? How honored we are that God will use us like that? How honored and special we must be that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Host of Hosts, the Creator of earth and the moon and the stars and everything else cares enough to touch others through us.